Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Get a head start on 2025 with CNBC's Big January, the hottest tech event, CES, from Las Vegas. The data, the numbers, the jobs report, and meet the future of biotech and pharma at JPM Healthcare. Check out the Amex Golf Tournament from California, Inauguration Day, and the meeting of world leaders in Davos. Plus, the first Fed decision of the year. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back. Bob Pompieri. No Joe Starkey today. He'll be back on Friday. Austin Bechtold is here behind the glass doing his thing, and we're doing our thing, which is talking sports until 1:30 today. That'll take you up to a Pitt pregame show. Cale Berger will be involved with that. And, of course, it's Bill Hillgrove, one of my heroes, watching him all these years still do his thing, along with Curtis Aiken. Terrific outside shooter back in the day, for sure, and now a very successful businessman as well. Two classy guys handling that as Pitt takes on Cal. Cal is in the ACC, yes, even though they're how many miles away
on the West Coast? The other coast.
And they're 0-1. Pitt's a 15-point favorite to try to get to 11-2 overall. So they've won 13 straight at the Peterson Event Center, bringing back memories of those Big East days. All right, let's get to the lines. They're hopping here. Scott in the North Hills joins us right now on this New Year's Day 2025. Happy New Year, Scott.
Happy New Year, Bob. I always enjoy listening when you're on here.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
But listen, I'm calling because of the Steelers. And I just think Joey Porter's overrated, man. I've watched him. I've watched some film. I've watched him avoid some tackles at different times. I really think his performance is overrated, maybe because of his Steeler history with his father. I don't know, but I feel he's a really overrated player at this point.
Well, I think he's been, it's too early for me to say that. I think he's still very good. The one thing I look about defensive back, Scott, is if they're able to be involved in plays. In other words, you're close to the receiver. His problems are he gets too close and he starts grabbing, and they're going to call that too much. You know, he got away with it, I thought, a little bit in college. I like the fact that he's involved and he sticks to guys pretty well. You very seldom seeing him trailing by 5-10 yards out of a play, unless it's some sort of broken coverage that has multiple explanations. I still think there's a lot of growth he needs to do. But I don't think he's the least, the biggest part of my problems at this point. I still think they need somebody else. Most of these teams in the NFL, Scott, play three wides. If you're going to do that, you need more defensive backs who are capable of sticking with people. And I think in this offseason, that's going to be one of their big needs.
That might be true, because having somebody else there that was capable as well might make a difference. Might make a real difference for him. I don't know. I'm just so disappointed in their performance back there. We seem to get passed all over. They pass all over us.
Well, their guys running free, too free, and we see it in this 3-game losing streak. They're all over the place, especially tight ends, both Likely and Andrews in the Baltimore game. We saw it in the Philadelphia game as well, and we saw it in the Kansas City game. Too many tight ends. Just unaccounted for. And they're very good players, so you can't be in that position where you're unaccounting for big tight ends. Scott, though, thanks. Yeah. I appreciate the call and look forward to we'll see what happens on Saturday night. They got to get better defensively, no doubt about it.
Happy New Year, Bob.
All right, you too. Let's go to another Bob. This is Bob on line two. Hello, Bob.
Hey, Pomp. Hey, Happy New Year to you guys.
Thanks.
Thanks for the call. Yeah. Did you check out Limits and Starkey playing hoops? That was pretty cool.
Yeah, well, there's more to that, apparently, right?
Oh, yeah.
Austin, there's a new and improved thing coming up where they involve some Pitt players as well.
Oh, that's awesome. What was posted was Starkey doing the classic fadeaway step-back jumper.
Yeah, with a kick.
Looked like
Dirk Nowitzki.
Looked like Larry Bird out there.
Yeah, and he
played pretty well, Bob.
Guess what, though? I thought that was in slow motion. I didn't know that was actual regular motion there.
Hey, I just wanted to my read on Saturday. The Steelers, their best D is going to be their offense. I mean, they have to possess the ball, keep that ball out of Burrow's hands. Otherwise, I mean, Chase, T. Higgins, Gesicki, those guys are they are running free out there, and they are just going to unless we have just this huge change in our secondary, they're just going to tear us a new one. So we just have to possess the ball. The offense has got to be productive, otherwise we're done.
And it's not just possessing the ball, Bob. It is possessing the ball and then getting touchdowns at the end of the drive. If you're going to settle for Chris Boswell field goals all day, that's a nice luxury to have. But really, the best-case scenario for the Steelers this week is not to see Chris Boswell on the field.
Yeah, exactly. Any thoughts? You think Roman Wilson there is going to – we think we're going to see him or not?
Not this week you won't, but I guess they're – ramping up for him to be available in the postseason, I guess.
He's
missed the entire year. I think that's a hard thing for a young player.
Yeah,
but
it's tough.
The whole design of coming into this year, he was going to be a factor. And then he got hurt, and then everything changed. So we'll see.
And the only other thing they can do is maybe have a decent rush. If they can rush and get and pressure Burrow, other than that, that guy's going to absolutely kill us. It's going to be bad. Anyway, hey, have a great day, guys.
All right,
appreciate
you too, Bob. Thank you. 412-928-9370. Let's move along down to Frick Park. We got Marty joins us right now. Hello, Marty.
Hey, Bob. How you doing? It's getting kind of windy here. Hey, I was just talking to Austin about this. I mean, a lot of people like to say James Franklin's an overrated coach. Actually, he's perfectly rated. You know the stats, right? It's almost historical.
Mm-hmm.
He's 34-1 as a favorite, 0-6 as an underdog the last 3 years. That's historical. He's 34-1. He wins 34 when he's favoring the game, Bobby. He's won 34 out of 35.
You know, it's funny though, Marty. I have people who will say when you see a coach who loses the games they should win, and there's a critique of that because that's what you're supposed to do. If you're better than another team, I think it says a lot about a coach that he wins the games he's supposed to win. There are a lot of people out there who don't do that.
Right, he needs to take a step. Right,
right.
I mean, we talked about this 2 months ago. I thought getting to the semifinals would be a successful season, but they set the bracket up for him. I mean, as a Penn Stater, I kind of like feel almost embarrassed by it. They set the bracket.
You should never be embarrassed. They made that bracket. Yeah. That's the way it is. You know, all you could do is deal with the people on the schedule, and you dealt with them both. Very, very, I think, better than people thought. SMU was a team that looked – I thought they were going to give them a lot of headaches, but they didn't.
I think Boise's pretty good, too.
I mean,
let's face it. I mean, maybe they – you watched the game. They barely lost to Oregon. A lot of people thought Oregon wasn't very good because they struggled with Boise. Maybe Boise is actually pretty good. Maybe they are really – maybe not a top four team, but maybe a top 10 or 12 team.
I give him and his defense credit for shutting down – Ashton Gentry the way they did. They made it real tough for him. Yeah, he's going to get his yards because they're going to keep giving him the ball. But they did not allow what other teams have allowed to him. And that's where it started with them. If you limit them, you should have success against their quarterback because Mattson, to me, is just average, I think. But, by and large, they're here. They're in the semifinals of college football playoff. If you're a fan of Penn State, you should appreciate that. And you're right, though. The next thing he needs to do just to get this, if for no other reason, to get it off his back, is to win a game against Georgia or Notre Dame.
Right.
All right, man. Thank you. Appreciate the call, Marty. Have a good one at 412-928-9370. Let's go out to Jeff in Cranberry, who joins us here on the Fan Hotline. Hello, Jeff. What's going on?
Hey, Bob. Happy New Year.
You too, man.
Hey, I missed your Italian restaurant piece, but I wonder if Serafina's was on there.
Oh, it certainly was.
Especially in the summer, you sit outside. Yeah, it's great.
I think the Calamari family does a great job with that place. You know, they get the Permane treatment nationally when college teams come in, broadcasters, they often go there. And, of course, they have a lot of, Calamari name and Pitt history is very big. That's a great place. I mean, Rico's a great – I mentioned Rico and the Lorenzini family, how good they've been. A La Familia with its sister restaurant, Arlecchino. I am a foodie. I love food, good foods especially. There's one in McKees Rocks that I didn't mention yesterday, 1905 Eatery. It's the guy's in charge named Carmen. He's been doing it by himself with his family. I mean, it's just a great place if you like old-school Italian food, which I do.
Yeah, and the new Pizzioli in Bridgeville is pretty good, or I guess South Bend.
Yeah, so is Scolio's. It used to be here in Foster Plaza. Yeah. They're no longer here. They moved down to, I think, Bridgeville. You have Girasoli. I told this story yesterday, Austin. The man in charge down there, he's really cool. I think he's 88. He's in his mid to late 80s. And he runs around. He's a hands-on greeter. He likes to talk to people, but he always drinks wine. He has a glass of wine. He averages on, and this is, if you like red wine, this is probably good news for you with your heart. He averages consumption of 2 bottles of wine a day at his age.
A day?
Walking around a day. And if you talk to him, his quote always is, I'll tell you, by the end of the day, I'm as high as a Georgia pine.
That's great.
But he's a great just socializer, which I love.
I think his name is Pi.
Pi, yes.
I think
yeah.
It's Pi.
You know who I'm talking about then. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Oh, he's totally part of the effect there, for sure.
All right, what do you want to talk about? It can't be just food. How about food for thought on the Steelers secondary?
My coaching career tapped out at 6th grade when my boys got into middle school. So I probably won't be getting a call from Terrell Austin. But I guess, you know, you see Minkah come up and hit like he did the other day. You see glimpses of what he could be, his physicality. You remember the play last week? He came up and really got somebody around the thighs and knocked him down.
Low tackle, yep.
And, you know, it made you think, if this guy came up and played closer to the line more often, what were we missing? But I guess the question I have is, you know, the oldest adage in sports is, you know, boxing one and basketball. Why don't we spy some of these guys more often? I mean, at some point, don't you just say, Minkah, follow 87 wherever he goes. And I know you say, well, it's not that easy. I mean, you know, if it was only that easy, but how could it have been worse? I mean, these tight ends are open by 12 yards. And a lot of these teams we come up against have really good tight ends. And it seems like every week it's schemed to be wide open. Like, I just wonder if they didn't do some more individual spying with a guy like Minkah to say, wherever that guy goes, he's not killing us. Other guys might kill us. 87's not going to kill us.
No,
today.
I mean, you got to take away certain things. Just like I said, the previous caller about Ashton Jeanty, take him away. You got to eliminate somebody who's, you know, and when Patrick Mahomes, his number one guy is Travis Kelce, who has the most touchdowns in Kansas City history now. Their wide receivers aren't what they used to be, which means you should have been very well aware that Kelce is the guy more than anyone else, and he was open. And just as Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely were open, I don't know what the strategy is or what you got
to
do. But I'll tell you what, in this Joe Burrow game, this is the problem. You got 2 really high-level wide receivers plus a tight end who's playing like he's Travis Kelce in Mike Gesicki.
Well, and it didn't seem to me like it was always just really bad coverage by Queen or whoever. It looked like sometimes he was not covered. And I'm thinking to myself, how in week 17 is – you know, this isn't week 3 where you're still getting, you know, different personnel packages together. How is 87 not being covered? I don't know. But I'm hoping we can disrupt Burrow a little bit and just cause some havoc for him. I think we're going to win. I think we're going to get back on track. And I think we have a chance to win in Houston. So I'm going to be optimistic.
Got to be optimistic. Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate the call. And all the best to you. Before we take a break, let's go to Paul in Katanning, who joins us right now on the Fan Hotline. Paul, you're on. What's up?
Hi, Bob. Happy New Year to you and everyone there in the studio. I want to talk about Steelers' offensive line, and I'm a big stickler for the push up front. And I've noticed for the past year, I have seen us gotten demolished, especially around the edges. And they just named Zach Frazier their Rookie of the Year, so he's kind of out of the equation. I want to leave you with this. Where would you start with these offensive line issues, and how would you go about improving how we attack their defensive line?
Thanks, Paul, for the call. Appreciate that. Well, first, I think Frazier's been terrific. And I think most of us thought, Austin, that he would be terrific.
I didn't expect him to be this good this early.
But he is. And I think there's a lot to be gained by knowing that Mason McCormick was thrown into a situation. You may not have James Daniel at the end of this year because of contract numbers. You get Troy Fontanu back. So, to me, you got to put, and you got to hope here, Broderick Jones is supposed to be a left tackle. I'm not giving up on him, but he's got to be better. Because Dan Moore will not be here one way or the other. People talked about him getting a big free agent contract. He'll get a deal from somebody. I don't know. You know, he leads the NFL in sacks allowed, I think, if I check that list. So Broderick Jones left. And then you have Seumalo. What is his contract?
I think he's one more year.
Okay, so he's there. Frazier. Is it McCormick? If it is, you still need help. and Faltanu. That'll be the starting. Now, you're back. You got to get depth, a lot of depth, because every year there's going to be injuries. Last year was an aberration. There was no injury. They played with the same kind of starting rotation in offensive line pretty much all year. You need a lot of depth there. So that's a position. But if I'm going to kind of identify a priority list with what they need, and I'm going to take quarterback out of this for now, just because we got to see how this plays out. And they're going to draft in the same area that they normally do, which makes it almost impossible to think that way in the first round. I still think defensive back, wide receiver, 1-1A, however you want to do it. You got to get more people who not only can go down the field and create plays, because you don't know the status with George Pickens and his financial demands or whatever, and you also need more help in that defensive secondary. You can never have enough defensive back help, I think.
I think wide receiver is probably number one. I mean, there are going to be a lot of good receivers that are coming out, I think, right in the area of where the Steelers are, at least in mock drafts that I've looked at over the last couple of days. Let me throw this at you from an offensive perspective, and maybe this is just bias from last night. Would you draft, if he was there, Tyler Warren, the tight end from Penn State, play him at tight end and move Freiermuth, still haven't played some tight end, but play Freiermuth maybe more in a slot wide receiver role. You get Roman Wilson back, you sign someone, and you draft a receiver in the second round. And you just beef up your offense.
I mean, he can do a lot of different things and move. So can Pat. The question I would have is how much are they going to utilize tight ends? You know, I thought I'd see much more of them this year. And if you're not going to put them in a position where they got to be targeted 8 to 10 times a game, I don't know if it's worth doing that given the other needs they have. I still think you need a stretch down the field, big time wide receiver. That may be T. Higgins. Maybe they decide they want to bring in a big money wide receiver like that. I'm not sure how they're going to go about it. Real quick, one more call here, Austin, before we go to break. I lied. We're going to squeeze one more in because I like people who call. I want to get them on. Let's go to Vic in the North Hills. Vic, what's going on today?
Happy New Year's, Bob. Happy New Year's.
Thanks, man. What's
up? Yeah, I just on the Steelers subject, and I now you said you didn't want to talk about quarterbacks, but what's our best option for next year at quarterback, in your opinion? Best case scenario.
Huh. If Russell Wilson was 5 years younger, it would be an easy choice for me, but he's not. And I think I keep harping on age, but maybe it's just because I've watched Aaron Rodgers' his decline. I watch what happened with Kirk Cousins and how things have gone. And sooner or later, you know, Father Time wins out. I don't know how much money I want to invest in Russell Wilson. If they want to win now, you know, and next year with guys who are up there in age, although they're getting to a point where these guys are getting older too as a group, he would probably be the guy if I can get him on a shorter-term deal. That remains to be seen what his demands may be. I'm more intrigued with Justin Fields longer-term for guys who are in my position right now. I know he's going to have choices as they've turned down his fifth-year option. He can go wherever he wants. But how many opportunities will he get that could be like this one? And if you're a believer that he can take further steps to advance his game, if you believe that's the case, would that be a play you'd make?
I'm not a believer in Fields at all. I don't think he's...
Well, what would you do then?
I personally think... I would say pursue Sam Darnold with everything you have.
How about if they sign Sam Darnold and you can pursue J.J. McCarthy in a trade?
Yeah. Well, Sam's proven.
Sam
right
is
now.
Proven he can operate in a good system with some outstanding talent around him, and that's exactly what he's fallen into there. And that credit to Kevin O'Connell, who I think would be my coach of the year, actually, choice. But, the system matters, too. And I think Justin Fields is now out of a system that was just hurting him, as it is Caleb Williams right now in Chicago. So systems do matter, how you implement guys and what they do with their coaching staff beyond this year also factors into that, if they do anything at all. Vic, thanks for the call. Happy New Year to you. Up against a break, we have Kim and Butler, Ed and Hemfield. We'll get to you on the other side of this. 412-928-9370. We're taking it up to 1:30. That's Pitt pregame. Pitt takes on Cal today. ACC home opener at the Peterson Event Center, and the Panthers are a healthy 15-point favorite for that.